Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing Podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 19th of May, 2022, and is entitled Field Value Automata. And I got to begin with a disclaimer here. This one is deeply technical and full of computer science-y stuff and has some code. And I'm not sure how well it's going to work as a podcast, but, you know, give it a listen. And, you know, if it reaches out to you, come and read the text. Okay, here we go. When I introduced Quamina, and that's the link, I described, another link, the core trick. You prepare an arbitrary JSON blob for automaton-based matching by, quotes, flattening, unquotes, it into a list of name-value pairs, then sorting them in name order. Today, a closer look at how you work with the flattened data. This is one of a series of essays, that's another link, on programming topics motivated by my work on eventing services at AWS, and since then on Quamina, a content filtering library implemented in Go, and there's a link to its GitHub. By example, considering the following pattern, and the pattern is two JSON fields, X and Y, and the value of X is an array just containing the string A, and the value of Y is an array containing 1 and 2. It should match any JSON blob containing a top-level X field whose value is the string A and a top-level Y field whose value is 1 or 2. Since we sort the fields of incoming events in order of name, we know how to build the automaton. There are two things that aren't obvious. Matching each field is a two-step process. First, see if the field name matches, then the value. This pattern doesn't care about any fields except for the top-level X and Y, so the automaton has to bypass all the others. Given that, here's the little automaton that could, and it's a picture of an automaton, which I am not going to read out to you. But the notes on it kind of describe what you see. Notes: there are two kinds of things in the picture, field matchers and value matchers, labeled in the diagram with names beginning FM and VM. And I'll say, you know, the first thing is a little box labeled FM0, and then there's VM0 and FM1 and VM1 and then FM2 and 3, and they're connected by arrows in the obvious way. And the FM field matchers are blue, and the VM value matchers are green. Okay. In Go code, they're implemented by types named field matcher and value matcher, and those are links. The matchers transition straightforwardly, looking for an X field with value A, and then a Y field with value 1 or 2. But each of these matchers have a star representing anything else that loops back to the field matcher state. This is how fields that don't appear in the pattern are ignored. The automaton loops in FM0 until it sees an X field, and then moves along to FM1 if the field's value is A, otherwise looping back to FM0. If it does get to FM1, it'll loop there forever until it sees a Y field with value 1 or 2, transitioning to FM2 or FM3 respectively, and bypassing any other fields we don't care about. The big red exclamation mark T on FM2 and FM3 says reaching either state means you've matched the pattern T that was added in the code sample above. Problem. I'd used finite automata more than once before this, but on every other occasion I was parsing a programming language or internet data format which have none of this skip any fields you're not looking for crap, which meant that the state machine I drew on the whiteboard in my AWS office looked just like the one above, but without those loopbacks labeled star, yeah, even though they're implicit in the design. What can I say? I was in a hurry. So when I sat down to write the code to traverse the automaton, I just couldn't figure out how to make it work. I felt, as I often feel, that I'd gotten in over my head. Since I wasn't smart enough to write down the correct automaton, I had to figure out how to code around the one I had. Sitting on the living room couch in my mum's overfull house in Christmas 2014, I came up with this, and that's a link to the code that implements it. Go check it out if you like reading code, but let me try to explain it in English. So, you have an automaton that looks like the picture above, only without the star backlinks. It has a start state. You don't know which fields in the event, if any, are going to match the pattern. You do know that any match has to begin with a start state. So you make a little type called a proposal, which says state S might match field F, and then you have a pool of proposals to work on. To start with, that pool contains one proposal for each field, suggesting that the start state might match it. Then you turn a loop loose that runs as long as there are any proposals in the pool. It reads a proposal and tries matching its state to its field. If that works, which means the field name value combo transitions to another state, you toss proposals for that state, the one it transferred to, and all the following fields back into the pool. Let's work a real example. Suppose you have three fields, F0, F1, F2. So you load the pool with proposals for F0 start state, F1 start state, and F2 start state. Let's say that neither F1 nor F2 matches the start state, but F0 does, transitioning to state X. So you toss proposals for F1 state X and F2 state X into the pool. F1 doesn't match state X, but F2 does, transitioning to state Y. State Y has an annotation that you've matched a pattern, so you have something to return to your caller. The pool is now empty, and there are no more fields after F2 to build new proposals, so you're done. The fact that the fields are sorted by name really matters here. As you work your way through the automaton, you never have to worry about transferring back to a previous state. It's all in less than 50 lines of code. Once again, there's a link to it, which I'm not going to try to squeeze into this skinny blog column. If you're looking at that code, please ignore for the moment the static about exists false matches and array conflict, but both are maybe interesting enough to get a write-up later in this series. I don't know if this approach to traversing automata, A, has been investigated, B, has a name, or C, is any good. I do know that it works really well in practice, handling many millions of events per second in multiple AWS services. I've done a bit of pen and paper analysis, and I don't think the amount of work is meaningfully different from a conventional traversal approach. But it did occur to me that, in principle, this approach could be made multithreaded. You could process multiple proposals in parallel on different cores. But anyhow, the profiler says this part of traversing the automaton is hardly visible as part of the total elapsed time. So I left it this way in Quamina for sentimental reasons. Tables? In the first cut, the field matcher was just a map from string to value matcher, and the value matcher was just a map from string to field matcher, which worked okay, and the field matcher still is like that. But for reasons I'll write about later, that's a bad choice for the value matcher. Smarter than me. At some level, Quamina is. One symptom is places like this in the code, distinguished by extended verbose comments. These are where I got stuck and bashed my head against the wall until I got something that worked, and I knew I'd have no chance of understanding it later, nor would any subsequent visitor, unless I could squeeze out a coherent English explanation. As Professor Feynman said, if you can't explain something in simple language, you don't really understand it. The observation that computer programmers can build executable abstractions that work, but they then have trouble understanding, is not new, and not really surprising. Lots of our code is smarter than we are. The code is also smart because at AWS I had extremely talented collaborators who added things I didn't think were possible until they worked. The proportion of the useful ideas in here that are actually mine is probably less than 50% now. Finally, we had the insane luxury of running this in production against millions per second event flows and watching what broke, and hearing from other teams using it about what they had managed to break. I guarantee nobody is smart enough to predict the behavior of software under this kind of stress without experiencing it. So, if you are face-to-face with a piece of production software that's new to you, and you find yourself feeling stupid, don't worry about it. The software represents a collection of flashes of peak energy inspiration from people more or less as smart as you, and there were probably quite a few of those people, and it's been enhanced with the wisdom that comes only from being used at length for real work. Of course that's smarter than you. That's okay. You can still improve it. News. As of late May, Quamina has picked up a couple of collaborators with way more GitHub expertise than me, and its repo is growing all sorts of bells and whistles, mostly on the CI/CD front, which means that I hope to do a release next month and see if anybody wants to use this. Newsflash! This afternoon, before recording this for the podcast, we did release 0.1.0, so go visit Quamina and check it out. This is nice, among other things, because it'll give me more stuff to write about. And that's all, folks.